our risen Lord and Savior again this morning. It's good to be together in the house of God with the brotherhood. In the King James Version, there's one time when it uses the phrase Jehovah Jireh. Can someone tell me the context of when that is used? Most other versions say the Lord will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Anyone know? Thank you. That is correct. In Genesis chapter 22, I'll be reading verses 7 through 14. Abraham was directed by God to go to Mount Moriah to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And so they went on their way. Maybe I'll start in verse 6. Genesis chapter 22, verse 6. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering." So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham!" So he said, "Here I am." And he said, "Do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham lifted his eyes and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, "The Lord will provide," or Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." I'm not sure what all the emotions were that Abraham was feeling as he took that knife in his hand. I'm not sure that any of us can really relate to that, of voluntarily being ready to kill a son, a child. And I'm assuming when the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven, I'm assuming it wasn't just Abraham. I said, "Abraham!" It was an urgent call, "Abraham. Now it's time to stop." And the emotions that Abraham would have felt as he is told he does not need to sacrifice his own son. And Abraham sees the ram caught in the thickets, the replacement for the sacrifice. I think there was an overwhelming gratitude springing from Abraham's heart. In Hebrews, it tells us that Abraham was willing to do it, believing that God could have raised Isaac from the dead, because God had promised earlier that it is through Isaac, your son, that I will bless all nations. And so, the Lord will provide, Jehovah Jireh. And there are many accounts in Scripture where that term could be used, Jehovah Jireh. How did God provide for the Israelites as they traveled through the wilderness? Miraculously providing manna and water for them. And not just for several days, this was for years. 40 years providing manna for them. Jehovah Jireh. Sometimes he provided for individuals. During the famine in Israel, when Elijah was told to go to Zarephath, he came and he saw this widow woman gathering sticks, and he called for water, and as she went to get the water, he calls after her, "Bring me a little cake as well." And she says, "I don't have anything except a little flour and a little bit of oil, and after that, we're going to die." And Elijah assured her, "Give me this first, you'll be taken care of." And by faith, she followed those instructions. And again, Jehovah Jireh, God provided the oil and the flour, did not get depleted until rain came and the earth was replenished. In 1 Kings 4, there's a 2 Kings 4, there's an account of Elisha feeding a lot of people with a little bit of food. I think I'll just read that account. 2 Kings 4, 42 through 44 says, "And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, 'Give unto the people that they may eat.' And his servitor said, 'What? Should I set this before 100 men?' He said again, 'Give the people that they may eat, for thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof.' So he set it before them, and they did eat and left thereof, according to the word of the Lord." Again, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. He multiplied the food. It's very similar to the feeding of the multitudes in the Gospels, where Christ fed 5,000 men plus women and children with those several loaves of bread and a few fish. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Today, a year ago, during this time, our house was burning. It was a day of a lot of mixed emotions and feelings. There were lessons learned. As we look back, we say, Jehovah Jireh. God will, God does provide. You know, it's a little hard to even put into words what you feel when you see things that you have lived with, the familiar, just simply going up in smoke. But the Lord provided. That very day, we had at least 5 offers of places to stay. It was a blessing to be right next door with Dad's, being close by as the rebuilding took place and going on with the work on the farm. That evening, there were piles of clothes there that were brought for us to use. Over the next days, a lot of meals were brought in. And I know Karen just said, that was such a gift. She couldn't think meals. There were hours of volunteer labor to help rebuild. Last night our family was sitting around a campfire and discussing, you know, what are some things we've learned through the whole process and so on. And, well, one of the first ones that came up was that one of the boys knows he doesn't want to do mudding on sheetrock for a job. So that's one lesson learned, I guess. But I think the value of community and brotherhood is something that will stay with us as a family for years, for hopefully for a lifetime. We were amazed at the network of connections, not just locally, but nationally, across the states. I think we learned that the temporal things really are things to be held loosely. they can go up in smoke so quickly. Don't hold too tightly to them. You know, when we die, they're gone. Just this past week in the obituary, I'm not sure, do any of you know David Bass? He was a customer that came to the potluck every now and then. Had some conversations with him. And this past week, he drowned in Colorado in a lake. You know, that's a loss. I've just been thoughtful. You know, has my life, did it have any impact on him? What kind of values did we share with him in interactions and so on? Those are things that we need to hold highly. Things that last. Well, there's a lot of things that could be said, things learned, things experienced. One of the things that Karen's experienced during that time was waking up early in the morning. Couldn't go back to sleep. Physically, she was so weary. That was time that she spent with the Lord, and that sustained her for the day. Once the day got going, you know, you just didn't have time to spend time alone. And so that was a way the Lord provided. In the Sunday school lesson, verse 11 talks about, he beseeches us as strangers and pilgrims. Let's keep that perspective. Our time here is just a sojourn. This is not permanent here. It's temporary. And the last verse says to love the brotherhood. And I trust those are things that we can remember. As strangers and pilgrims, God will provide. And a lot of that providing came through the brotherhood, through the body of Christ. And that was such a gift. And today, you know, we have so much more than just our basic needs. In 1 Timothy 6, verse 8, it says, having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You know, we look at our basic needs, food, water, shelter, clothes. And there's a lot of people who are very grateful when those basic needs are met. And I'm wondering how we would respond if just the basic needs are met for us. We have so much more than just our needs. It's hard even to know exactly when does it stop being a need and when is it just a want. In Philippians 4, verses 19 and 20, says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. And that is what we want to do. Through God's provision, we want his name to be glorified, not just now, but forever and ever. And also just recognize that while we went through some losses, there are people who have sustained much greater losses. Today is Anya's birthday. And I think Laverne's could testify that the Lord provided. The first song we sang this morning, Nearer, My God, to Thee. That is what these experiences are supposed to do for us, to draw us nearer and nearer to Him. The last song, the last verse. Faint not, nor fear, his arms are near. He changeth not, and thou art dear. Only believe, and thou shalt see that Christ is all and all in all to thee. And I trust that can be each one of our experience. You know, God does give grace, regardless what he asks us to go through. He provides. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. And we praise him for that. Shall we kneel and pray?